Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans.
Welcome again. This is Democratic Perspectives. I'm Mike Cosentino, and this is Bill Timberman.
Good morning, everyone.
Yes, there he is. And Steve Williamson is usually in this chair, and he's taking the day off. Today, again, we have Jim Ledbetter in the studio. We chatted with the Cottonwood attorney and Democratic Party leader. He's a behind-the-scenes party leader. We talked with him on a previous show about politics and his philanthropic work. So let's real quickly, and we want to touch on politics once again today. Bill, you had a question.
Yeah, I mean, my question is, right now in Arizona, we've got registration is about a third Republicans, a third Democrats, and a third Independents. Now, that's a whole lot more independence than we see nationally. And it's very significant, I think, particularly for Arizona state elections. So I'm curious, who do you think, Jim, these independents are, and what are the implications of so many of them for the Democratic chances in the state?
Now, how do guys like you factor in the independents?
Yeah, the independents are a huge factor. They're a growing factor. It is something that the parties have to really figure out in terms of how to attract Democrats to, or excuse me, how to attract independents to their particular issues, whether they be Republican or Democratic issues. Because Democrat or the independent, you know, group right now, as we see here in Yavapai County in particular, and even nationwide, as Iowa showed us, are really affecting the outcome. I mean, that's why. You know, we have the polls who can get significant votes with libertarian-type views being articulated because that's very attractive to the non-traditional, non-party people, the independents, and they're going to affect outcomes for a long time going forward in the future. In fact, when the dust settles and primary candidates are selected, you know, the presumptive candidate, when that comes out of the Republican primary process, we'll see that candidate race to the middle because that's where the independents
are.
And, you know, President Obama raced to the middle. Everybody races to the middle so you can win a national election. And that's, you know, has been told to us time and time again, that's where the money is, that's where the resources will be committed, and that's where the outcome of the elections will be shaped, in the middle based upon independence.
Well, what about the disgust factor? I mean, presumably the increase in independent registration has something to do with a pox on both your houses, right?
Yeah, I agree and I hear that all the time, but really, at the end of the day, elections are about people and the candidates. And generally that disgust factor goes away when people walk into the ballot booth because they're looking exactly for that particular candidate. And it's not really about the parties anymore. And I think that's the change we're really starting to see nationally. And certainly even here in Yavapai County, if you look at voter registration, more and more individuals are being attracted to that independent niche so they can pull a primary ballot from either party when they come in, and they can then make a difference based upon their personal convictions as opposed to party politics.
So it's a tactical move in part.
I think it's an individual move. It's an individual move, and then the parties now have to realize that that's where individuals are going in the country, and we have to rethink politics to really invite those people to the dance.
As an attorney, we could do. You mentioned voter registration, and someday we'll do a show on voter fraud and denial of the right seems to be a big thing this year.
Or voting early and often, the old Chicago way.
Poor Chicago. You know, I guess with Obama in office, it takes an awful lot of beating. But efficient politics, for some reason, is criticized. But one of our topics today, because we want to move into education, you are president of the Mingus Union School Board. You obviously sought that office for a reason, or for reasons, I'm interested in knowing what plans you had for the Mingus Board and have you achieved them, and where you want to take the institution in the future.
I have five sons, as you know, and when the dust settles, we'll have 13 consecutive years of our boys being at Mingus High School. And so that was pretty motivational for me to run and at least try to do some things with the district. And I think we've been blessed over the last couple of years, even though there's been extremely difficult economic times for school districts. You know, frankly, schools are not valued in Arizona. And anybody who says to the contrary is just giving political jargon as opposed to something that's meaningful and true, because every school district has been cut. All the fat has been out of school districts for years and years and years. And if people think there's still fat to trim from a budget, they're just wrong. Districts have been cutting bone for a number of years. And frankly, we do not fund education. It is not a priority in Arizona, and it's time that that really change. Mingus has been blessed because what we've been able to do is we've had creative thinkers in administration, and we've been able to take administration back to just the bare bones. And in doing that, then we had the community support us in an override election. Without that, it would be, you know, unbearable, the circumstance. People don't understand that 80% of your school budget is people.
Let me point out, you found a way to save a lot of money in administration.
We have.
As often many people feel should, but you actually put it into practice.
We have an administrator who's agreed to be a part-time administrator, which saves significant dollars. He's agreed to telecommute in the position and be available through telecommuting and be at different parts of the country at the same time he's the administrator at our high school. That's novel thinking. I don't know of the districts my firm represents across the state. I don't know anyone that's doing that yet. Wow. We'll see how that works. I mean, it remains to be seen. But we weren't given a choice. It would not have been our choice. We'd rather have adequate money to run the school than the circumstances we have. But given those choices, that's what we've done to save both programs and people.
Well, let's talk about funding a little. You know, during the 2010 campaign for superintendent of public instruction, I went to a local forum here in Sedona where they had all the candidates. And I heard John Huppenthal, who was the eventual winner of that election, say, and I quote, "There are lots of ways to improve education that don't cost any money." Now, maybe that's true, but I wonder if these improvements are ever going to be enough to give our kids the education that they and America's future require, unless we find more secure and broader sources of funding. Is that a fair assessment?
I think your comment about it is a fair assessment. I don't think what Superintendent Huppenthal said is true. It is absolutely not true. Arizona, you know, ranks at 50th in terms of funding per pupil for education. If you factor in the District of Columbia, we get to be 51st. We need thousands of dollars per pupil to beat Mississippi. I think that's nothing to write home about, frankly, and candidly, he's just wrong. It's not a true statement. It may have been true decades ago, but over the last many decades in Arizona, for many years in Arizona, we have consistently targeted kids and reduced money from kids in schools and have made schools operate on a shoestring. It is not true. A new teacher, if they're married and have a child, they qualify for access in Arizona. We are the only school district, Mingus is the only school district left that even supports dependent health care coverage. We've had to limit it to a stipend. We don't pay 100% anymore. But being the only one left that allows health care available to your key employees, your teachers, your administrators, even your custodians, for goodness sakes, they should get health care. But that health care is not being made available to them anywhere in Arizona. And it is a shame that a new student, or a new teacher, excuse me, who comes in, who wants to work for your district, he qualifies probably, if he has children, for food stamps and access.
So you're saying that there's a relationship between how well an employee is treated, how well a teacher is treated, and quality education? Shocking.
Of course, because at the end of the day, the best and brightest should be going into education to plan for the future, to shape young minds for the future, to teach young people how to think. And frankly, I think of one teacher in particular over at Mingus High School who's a mathematics teacher, who's an extraordinary teacher. He has an engineering degree. Why he stays, he stays because he's a true believer.
Right.
And he likes education.
Yeah.
But he's offered starting level salary jobs after being at a school district for a decade. He's offered starting salary jobs elsewhere that are significantly, significant more money.
Yeah, that's rare. It's not the, you know, not the rule anymore. You know, teaching is a drug, and it is a pleasure and a joy and an art and a science. And
those who are left are really true believers, because everybody else, we've run them off.
Yeah, that's too bad. I'm sorry to hear that. It's hopefully we'll be able to turn it around. Like education, in a way, healthcare. I want to get to that before we run out of time. Your forum is an expert among the statewide experts on healthcare. You have a good deal of representation of insurance companies, but you also sit on the boards of hospitals. You know a lot about it. What? Where are we with this? Where are we with healthcare? Real quickly, we read your list of credits last time, but certainly Northern Arizona, you said boards of Northern Arizona Healthcare of Revale, Medical Center, Sedona Medical Center have all benefited from your expertise. Tell us about this. What's this governor's task force on healthcare and liability?
I've had the pleasure of serving on a number of task forces to look at both liability and related issues involving healthcare, but healthcare is a similar story. People do not understand that access, Medicaid, which Arizona's version of Medicaid is access, the Arizona Healthcare Cost Containment System, that's a hidden tax. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Because hospitals and doctors are reimbursed for less than the cost of delivery of healthcare. That's the reimbursement rate. So a hospital cannot pay its employees and provide medicines on the dollars that come from or are reimbursed from access. So all the rest of us need to understand that what's really going on here is it's a hidden tax. Because by federal law, anyone who comes into an emergency room must be seen and treated. That's why emergency room bills are so exorbitant, because a significant number of population who, frankly, should receive health care, large numbers of children. Mm. One of the things that I'm pretty passionate about is, and I've taken a lot of criticism of this over the years, if you're 65 years old in this country, you get health care.
Yeah.
But if you're a child that needs a kidney, you don't, unless your parents have private insurance.
Around here, at Democratic Perspectives, we like health care. We like Medicare. We think Medicare for all would be a great. Single-payer health care from birth is something that we, you know, progressives here support.
And we think it can be funded realistically.
What do you think?
It could be funded realistically. It means more taxing, and no question. And I understand
money well
the complexity
spent.
Of that. Perhaps it's arguably money well spent, but it does change utilization rates. We will have some level of rationing of services. You would not
like we don't know.
Well, by just comparison to other places, we really don't. You know, for example, let's say that you needed a CAT scan because of a suspected tumor. You can get that CAT scan in a matter of hours in the Verde Valley. If it's emergency circumstance, you can get it done. If you lived in another country, you'd be on a waiting list. And, you know, some people wait 6 months before they determine the size of the tumor, and it may have grown to be inoperable in the time.
Okay, well, that's a nice ad to get those Arab princes over here to in the Verde Valley to get their CAT scan.
Well, I hope so, because they'll pay private dollars and offset the lack of funding for health care.
Yeah, one of the I knew the Flagstaff administrator in the 70s, and one of the worst things for the Flagstaff Medical Center at the time was the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. They had to adjust because they were losing money because they weren't pulling the carnage off the highway. I mean, he said, as sad as it was, that really affected their ability to function in the black. All right. Well, thanks, Jim. We have and as we've heard a little earlier that we ought to do this show more often. You can hear this, and I'm not going to give him a chance to say no. We give him this and other shows on our. We have a podcast on the VVID.org, the Democratic Perspectives website. We have Democrats at Red Rocks have wonderful breakfast at the old Sedona Bar and Grill.
Third Thursday of every month at 8 o'clock.
Thank you. They have a new group in Cottonwood, which I want to plug here, called Drinking Liberally. It has a little bit of a dubious name. It meets at the Vineyard Bistro on Wednesdays. You can find out more about that on your own. But it's a progressive group that is moving forward. Look for our Occupy Sedona and Occupy Cottonwood groups on the corners.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.